Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Humat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Oh, but I've got two doctors here again today. Dr. Samara Humat, as you already know. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
This is actually number...
Hour number three.
That's right. And also Dr. Jerry Mixon, the founder and chief medical officer of Longevity Medical Clinic. And together, are you guys ready to take another 2 hours of questions?
Let's do. Let's start hour number three. Ready to go.
Great. But we don't, we don't have anybody on the line.
No calls?
No calls. But
well, how did that happen?
Well, we just started.
Did you not do your job?
See, I told you.
That's right. You did.
There's no hope for me. But here's the toll-free number if you want to call in. And all silliness aside or seriousness or whatever, boy, if you don't have your health, I know that that's, we hear that. If you don't have your health, you know, there's nothing like it. Well, it's so true. And so if you're maybe at home, work, in your car, what have you right now, and something is really bothering you, maybe your energy, aches and pain, who knows what it is, I don't care. If you want to talk to somebody about it, I've got two doctors here right now willing to take your call. A second opinion, maybe in your case, a first opinion, is the smartest thing you can do. So, hey, it's easy to do. It's 1-888-312-5757. 888-312-5757. And pretty much anything goes. And it can be about you, your health, or maybe the health of a parent, a child, a brother, neighbor, whatever. It doesn't matter. Give us a call. 1-888-312-5757. So there you go. And then we started off talking about some new information. Mm-hmm. And why don't we try that again? Oh, my phone is on. I'm so sorry. I can't believe it. I tell everybody I interview, turn your phone off for crying out loud. And then I don't do it.
Mine is off.
That's right. That's unusual. Yeah. That's unusual. So what's the very latest of what we were talking about?
We were talking about metformin earlier, Jerry. You sent us a wonderful article that we reviewed. And basically, metformin is a drug that's been around since the 50s used in the management of type 2 diabetes. Right. It helps in lowering your blood sugar levels. Diabetic patients have high sugars that are dangerous and harmful. And in a few years ago, a study was published where they showed that diabetic patients using metformin were outliving healthy adults that were not on metformin who had normal sugar levels.
Right.
And so that caused some curiosity in the medication, and people started studying it. And in anti-aging circles and in health maintenance circles, it became a drug used to help maintain longevity.
Yeah. Well, let me put a little more background in that. Diabetics.
Yeah.
Type 2 diabetics have 2.5 times more heart attacks than non-diabetics. Ooh. They have 3 times more strokes than non-diabetics.
Right.
They have kidney failure at a dramatically increased rate. So typically, they have died much younger than non-diabetics.
Mm-hmm.
So when the first studies came out showing that type 2 diabetics on metformin were outliving non-diabetics, people didn't believe it.
Mm.
You know, they said, it's impossible. But it turns out it's true that the metformin has such a beneficial impact that even diabetics who should have a much higher risk of dying of heart attacks and strokes and kidney failure were outliving non-diabetics that were not using metformin. Mm-hmm. And so, which is why doctors started saying, wow,
yeah,
maybe this is our first effective anti-aging drug.
Right.
And started using it for some non-diabetics.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but then there are downsides to using it for non-diabetics. You want to go into the possible adverse effects.
Sure, it'll drop your sugar levels. And if you have hypoglycemia, which is low sugar, you can actually pass out. Your brain doesn't function. You feel faint. You can be jittery. You can have nervousness. Also, it can cause metabolic imbalances between sugar and electrolyte, and that electrolyte imbalance can cause problems, and you can pass out again, or you can have diarrhea. Metformin can cause diarrhea. Again, it's one of the reasons why it causes electrolyte imbalances.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's an imbalance between the amount of water and electrolytes in your body. And so it has huge potential side effects, so people shouldn't be taking it if they don't need to be on it.
On the other hand, if you tolerate it okay and you're well of the issues, then it is one that some doctors are now using as a, quote, anti-aging or life extension drug.
Right.
To see if we can help people to live longer, fuller, more robust
lives.
Very
true. Very true.
So, you know, we're back to Dr. Mixon's first rule.
Yes.
It can help. It can hurt. You have to take both sides into account before you use the medicine.
Yeah.
But the new paper that we were just talking about is showing perhaps some of the reasons that it is helping non-diabetics. And that is, even in non-diabetics, it changes liver function.
That's right.
And it decreases inflammation in both the liver and the brain. And the decreased inflammation is probably part of why people are having better lives, lower risk of cancer, lower risk of all these other adverse effects.
Yeah, that liver issue was very interesting because we, you know, we see elevated liver enzymes quite a lot, and we watch for that, in fact, on patients that we give medication on to see what's going on. And when we use supplements also, we keep an eye on what's happening to their metabolic levels so that if there is any imbalance, we'll pick it up quickly and manage it quickly.
Sure.
So it was very intriguing that that liver enzyme and changing in the liver pathology can help reduce risk and reduce inflammation. So I was very intrigued by that, the AMPK pathways and the impact of this old metformin, old drug, that may have new potential for helping people.
Yep.
Interesting. Well, we've got someone on the line. Let's go to him right now. It kind of makes sense considering the topic. John in Tacoma. John, welcome to the show.
Hello, John.
Good day to you guys. I take metformin 500 milligrams a day as a prophylactic.
Okay.
And I'm wondering, how much do you take a day? You indicated you take it two times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you tell if you're taking too much? Do you have to, is there a test or anything?
So what are your sugar levels?
5.2 was the last one.
Okay, so you're in a good place.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're not dropping too low. And, yeah, and mine is about the same as yours. All right, I run around 5.2. I'm using 500 twice a day, personally. But once more, we monitor my sugars carefully. We monitor my liver enzymes carefully. And, you know, so all my functional levels are looked at on a regular basis. In fact, Samara is the one that, you know, that provides my care. This is one of the drugs that I'm using, and in part as a SIRT1 inhibitor. SIRT1 system of reproduction is quite important in longevity. And so, you know, there are other drugs like rapamycin that are used as SIRT1 inhibitors, but now we know that metformin is one. And since metformin is so much less expensive and we know its side effects so much better than the rapamycins,
right,
that's the one I've chosen to use for myself.
And then we also switched you out of the extended release because of the recall on the extended release.
That's right.
So hence the short...
There was a recall from five brands of the extended release that had chemicals in it that could raise the risk of cancers. So I went to the short acting and got away from the long acting.
That's what I'm taking, the extended release.
Yeah. It's a matter of which brand. You have to check with your pharmacy and see if your brand is one of those that's had a recall.
And I just Google that and I could figure that out.
Mm-hmm. You sure can.
Okay. Years ago, wearing socks that had rather tight elastic, my above where the socks ended, I'd swell up. What is that a normal thing to happen, or was that a sign of something to come? Because, I have a neuropathy in my feet, but before it was just kind of it's no pain associated with it. I had chemotherapy, and that increased the neuropathy considerably. But and so I've had, and then I've developed edema in both legs. So was that a sign of something to come?
Well, it could be. What you're describing, this dependent edema where the legs swell, is often seen with heart failure. It's seen in poor venous return back to the heart. It's seen with lymphatic embarrassment in which the lymphatic drainage is not adequate. So there's a fair number of different reasons that can cause those ankles to swell. But when you're getting your lower legs swelling up, it is not normal. It is not healthy. Something bad is happening. The question is what? And then it should be investigated. Somebody needs to go in, do some testing, take a good look, and see if they can figure out why you're getting dependent edema.
Yeah, sometimes when people change activities and are sitting mostly all day long and have no physical activity, you can get some dependent edema.
Yes. You know, if I do my daily run, I get no dependent edema. You know, most mornings I run about 4.2 miles. And if I get a good run in, I never do it. If I am sedentary and those muscles are not flexing and being used aggressively, then I'll get some puffiness in my lower legs and ankles by evening. And part of that is just the fact that, you know, I'm 73 years old. My cardiac output is not quite as good as it was when I was a kid. So sedentary lifestyle results in a little bit of fluid retention. You know, running and jumping and keeping those muscles flexing pushes all the fluid out of my lower legs.
Right. And then if you are sitting for prolonged periods of time, like if you're traveling by air or something, then keep those ankles moving.
And it's not just that. I wear support hose.
Yeah.
If I'm going to get on an airplane, if I'm flying to Asia or Europe, I won't get on that airplane without my support hose on.
Smart idea.
Should everybody do that?
I think everybody over about 40, sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Does that answer your questions?
One last mention. I get a CT scan about every 3 months. And one of the things they do, because they know I'm taking metformin, is they check my kidney function. And so far, I had no problem there.
Good. Yeah, the problem with metformin with kidneys is if you are getting poor kidney function, you can develop lactic acidosis, which has a 50% fatality rate. So, yeah, people with bad kidney function should not take metformin.
Hey, thank you, John. Appreciate the call. This is interesting. We've got to go to a break. But late yesterday, I found out that our very own Dr. Dan Nelson from Pro Ortho, that we often have on the show, is teaching a course, a hands-on cadaver course at Swedish Hospital on spinal stenosis. And so I texted him and I said, do you have a break in there sometime? Because maybe you could call in and tell us, because there's apparently some latest information on spinal stenosis. So Dr. Dan Nelson, he's only going to be with us for like 3 or 4 minutes, but he's next. Don't go far.
I've been a patient for about a year and a half. I'm impressed with the program, and I've gained a lot of benefits from it. I owe a lot to the longevity program. It's been great.
Everybody's going out and having fun. I'm just a fool for staying home and having none. I can't get over how she set me free. Oh, lonesome me.
Hey, 20 minutes past the hour. I am happy. And a big, big, big thank you to Dr. Dan Nelson. Dan, are you there?
I am here, Pete. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, yes, we hear you fine. I apologize, actually. I know you're actually teaching a course, a cadaver or a hands-on cadaver course. Oh, I'm assuming this is not open to the public.
No, definitely not. And we call it a cadaver course or a bioskills course. And as the medical profession, especially those on the surgical side, we are indebted to people who donate their bodies to science and medical teaching. And I've probably attended 20 to 30 of these courses and taught at several myself. So, but it's truly, you know, we're going in and working on these cadavers, and I'm showing people from around Washington. We're working with six other doctors from around the state, showing them how to do the Vertiflex Superion procedure for spinal stenosis. And it's a great facility here at the, it's called the Seattle Science Foundation, at located at Swedish Cherry Hill campus, where I think we're on the 16th floor. I'm looking out. It doesn't look real pretty real right now. It looks a little ugly out there as far as the smoke, but we're having a great time, and the doctors are very enthusiastic. And it's just a fun thing to do that Boston Scientific, who has been very a good ally of mine in so many ways. They've asked me to help teach this course today, and we're doing very limited. We're only teaching two doctors at a time, so I'll be here to about three or four this afternoon.
But well, let me just ask you, spinal stenosis. Explain what that is, and how common is it?
It's extremely common. So the term stenosis just means narrowing of whatever structure. In this case, the spinal canal. You can have coronary stenosis, of which you may need a stent or a bypass. But the spinal canal, especially in the lumbar area, as we get older, very common in people over the age of, say, 60, 65. And it's a combination of disc bulging and little facet arthritis, bone spurs. All this contributes to constricting the spinal canal. And so what I see a lot of is people who come to me who have knee pain. Maybe they're looking at the stem cell, which we do, the stem cell for arthritis of the knees or hips. Or maybe they've had a stem cell treatment that didn't work. And I'm looking upstream, and I get a few, you know, hints. I'm saying, let's look at the lumbar spine. We get x-rays and MRI, and they've got spinal stenosis. I mean, they were not necessarily a bad candidate, but the doctor that treated them was ignoring what was happening in their spine. So if you have spinal stenosis, which is a constellation of symptoms, back pain, leg pain, but also weakness, also balance issues, patients get what they call neurogenic claudication, where they can walk maybe, you know, a couple hundred yards and then they have to sit down. Or what I call the shopping cart sign. You see people walking around Safeway or Costco, and the only way they can navigate is to be bent over, leaning on the shopping cart sign. So really, we haven't had a good treatment until Vertiflex Superion came out with a minimally invasive procedure that is remarkable. It's a game changer. And I've done, I think, just recently up to 100 patients treated in the last year and a half. And it is remarkable how well this
you did this for a friend of mine. I'm not going to mention his name because I didn't ask permission. But he thinks you walk on water made a huge, huge difference in his life. So that is fascinating. This is one reason why, Dan, we like to have you on now and again. In fact, we really do, because so many people are struggling with pain and think they just have to live with it because that's part of getting older. But that's what you're all about. You don't have to give up and live with the pain.
Well, exactly, Pete. And the reason I love coming on the show, Leading Edge Medicine, is just getting the word out. Because even most of the primary care doctors who are overwhelmed in so many ways, they really don't know about what's available for somebody like that has spinal stenosis. And so I like going out there, just getting the message out that if you think this is going on where you have back pain, leg pain, you can only walk 100 yards, you have to sit down. You might have to get evaluated and see what's going on there. Now, there might be other things. We do the full workup. There might be other things going on for the back pain, leg pain, but that's kind of what I do. So
that's right.
Anyway,
and with that,
taking the call.
Well, that's okay, Dan. This is fun. Thank you. I appreciate you taking the time. I know you got to get back. I'll just say, folks, if you're listening and that sounds familiar to you, or any kind of pain, really, but especially what he just was talking about, call his office, let him do a consultation and figure out if he can be of help to you. Dan, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right.
Have a good rest of your day. All right.
Bye-bye, Dan.
All right. Thanks, Dan. And Dan's bye-bye. Office number, by the way, is 425-823-4000. 425-823-4000. Let's go to Burien and talk with Dick. Hello, Dick. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. 10 years ago, I was diagnosed with sleep apnea, which is a matter of some loose material in my throat that goes to sleep when I go to sleep, and it relaxes and it closes out my breathing and wakes me up. And I ended up with a CPAP machine, which... as of a month ago, I outlived the machine. It died. And I tried to get it fixed, and they won't fix it. And they won't sell me another one without a doctor's prescription. And I can't get a doctor's prescription without going through that horrible night with 100 wires in my head. So I got frustrated. But my ears perked up when Dr. Umat talked about a machine that could tighten skin. My question is, can that kind of a machine tighten that loose junk that's in my throat and stop it from closing up my pie hole?
No, sorry. No, that wasn't the kind of radio frequency I was talking about.
Although there is
yes.
an alternative that might help you. Yeah, you know, what she was talking about was that we use on people's tummy.
Yeah.
You know, women that have had a baby and they're not overweight, the skin is just saggy and loose. Mm-hmm. You can tighten that skin back up and make it more attractive again. And you can snug up the vagina when it's been stretched and damaged from childbearing. But there is her husband, as it turns out, is a surgical ENT specialist. Mm-hmm. And this is Dr. Sunil Umat. Mm-hmm. And Sunil does people with sleep apnea a lot. And he's looking, he goes up through the nose and down through the airway with a special scope so that he can actually see where the thickening areas and the narrowed areas are. And one of the procedures that he can do is to use a radio frequency to basically shrink those tissues.
That's right.
And open up the airway so that you don't have the need for the CPAP anymore.
So, yeah. So I guess simply put, it's the other UMAT you need.
That's right. Yeah.
But also one other thing before I let you go, and if you were to see him, he'll also tell you this. For sleep medicine, you can do a home study now also. You don't have to go to a lab and sleep there at night and have all those probes that you're talking about. The home studies are considered just as good, and they'll loan you the equipment to use overnight, and then they will read your test results. And they do that routinely before and after surgery to know the impact, whether you need, obviously, as part of the planning process, and then subsequently to see what happened to your scores.
To make sure that you're actually improved after they do the procedure.
Yeah.
So, yes.
And the phone number for Dr. Umat, Dr. Sunil Umat, with Northwest Face, by the way, that's the name of the practice, nwface.com, by the way, if you want to check it all out. Very, very impressive. I have family members I've sent there, and they are very, very happy. Again, here's the phone number. Make your appointment by calling 206-525-2525. All right, 206-525-2525. A very, very smart thing to do for all of you sleep apnea people. And by the way, if you were using a 10-year-old machine, not that I'm a doctor or anything, but from what I've been told, you probably should have changed that machine 5, 6, 7 years ago. So you're lucky it broke, pal. This is going to get you into what's actually available now.
The newer technology, and again, depending on what he finds when he does the evaluation, they may be able to fix it so you don't need a machine.
That's right. Yeah. So, again, Northwest Face, they're in Kirkland, 206-525-2525. Well, wait a minute. They have a practice in Seattle.
They do. They have a Seattle practice and in Kirkland. And the Kirkland number is a 425 number as well if you want it. Do you know it, Pete?
All I have is...
The 206. It's 425-576-1700.
I'll write that down. Okay, 425-576-1700. Yeah, I'm going to start using that. Well, I'll give them both. No. I'll give them both. Actually, I was told that they'll both work practice,
yeah,
so that's okay. But give them a call. You'll be glad you did there. And with that, let's go to a break. That opens up a line. It means you can call with your question for Dr. Mixon or Dr. Umat, our Dr. Umat, Dr. Samira Umat. She is far prettier than Sunil. I absolutely guarantee it. And it is 888-312-5757. Dr. Mixon's looking at me funny.
I'm just thinking Sunil's a good-looking guy. Yes. Samira would not hang around with a loser.
No, but I've never heard anybody call him pretty. Okay, 1-888-312-5757. When we come back, we're going to hear from Pam in Federal Way. Got a question, has been flying lately and has some head pressure. Oops. And then Betty from Shoreline has a restless leg question. And your question. But you can't ask it unless you call 888-312-5757.
I finally went and took that free test, and it didn't hurt. I went ahead and moved forward with genetic testing and inflammatory markers and stuff like that, so I'm encouraged to see what those results are. So how would this work for my father at 80 years old?
Hey, 34 minutes past the hour, Pete Talbot here, and you just heard this guy ask, he just made an appointment for a free health analysis appointment, and so he's looking forward to that, and I can make a comment or two, but he also asked the question, how old is his dad? What did he say, 80?
80.
80 years old, that's right. And is 80 too old to be a patient at longevity? I don't think so.
Well, I plan to still be a patient at 80.
Yeah, that's right. But in fact, it's kind of interesting. People say, well, what's your average age of patient? Now, technically, there is one, but the truth is we have a broad sweep. It's amazing how broad it is, starting at about 45 to 90.
You've actually got a few in the 30s.
Well, but I'm saying the bulk. Yeah. It's still very broad. Yes, of course, we do have some in the 30s.
Yeah, there are people that have premature failure of their endocrine system.
Yes,
either their ovaries will quit, or the pituitary quits, or the thyroid quits, or the testicles quit. And so we do get people in their 30s that have the hormone balance of someone in their 60s.
That's right. You know, and of course, if you don't measure, you don't know.
Precisely.
Where have we heard that before? Mm-hmm. So, again, it's kind of interesting. So I can't say if you're between, okay, technically 30, but our bulk is between 45 and like 90. I mean, it's really broad spread. If you're not happy with how you feel and function, well, then, yeah, you're a candidate. You ought to make one of those free health analysis appointments. Mm-hmm. Again, that's just the first step. It's a small step, but it doesn't cost you anything. And you get the two free tests. Not going to go into all the details, but again, it's a blood test.
Yeah.
It's also a special in-body test, which is just fascinating and very helpful in determining what some of your basic health risks are, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's all about quality of life, right? If at 80, it's important to be engaged and enjoy the things you're doing, then it's very important that you have the endocrine support to be able to do it successfully.
Yes.
And the good stories for me are when my almost 90-year-old tells me he's going on a hunting expedition with his son and grandson.
Yeah.
That's quality. And then, you know, he said that if he wasn't on the program, there he couldn't have gone.
Oh, yeah.
So those kinds of things where you cherish those moments, and it's not just for once in a while. It's like everyday, day-to-day living is much better because you are happier about where you stand in life.
You know, I had somebody emailed me just yesterday, a patient at Longevity, and said, you know, you do a great job, Pete, blah, 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 talking about longevity, but you need to encourage the listeners to become patients, not just for themselves.
Yeah.
In other words, yeah, makes sense. Be in less pain, have more energy, sure. Have your sex drive, have blah, blah, all those good things. But he says, if they love their family, their spouse, their mate, their kids, their what have you, you're doing it for them too.
Absolutely.
It changes things so that, like this guy, this grandpa at 90, mm-hmm. gets to do a hunting trip?
Yes.
With his grandson? Well, his son and his grandson? Mm-hmm. That's living, pal.
Yeah.
And it's at 90.
Yeah.
And yes, it is possible. Don't give up on yourself. So again, the free health analysis appointments, I'm going to take less than a minute. We opened up through October, the first week of October. And we have like 10 or 12 appointments available in each of our three clinics. Actually, about 15. It's really good. And so grab one, and you not only get the two free tests, but at least for the time being, we're giving you an option. You also get $100 of free supplements of your choice, longevity supplements, and we have quite a few to choose from, and or our two fitness books, which we've written. They're excellent, and our fitness bands. So it's your choice. So make the appointment, for goodness sakes, and you do it yourself online at lmclinic.com. Easy to do. lmclinic.com. You just push the button on the homepage there. You push the button that says make an appointment, and it's an easy, like, 2-3-step process. Easy, easy, easy to do, I promise. Okay? Make that appointment. They are available on a first-come, first-served basis. So I encourage you to do it. I really do. Oh, my goodness. I surely do. All right. Let us go to Federal Way and talk with Pam. Hello, Pam. We're glad you called.
Hello. Thank you for being here. I get off of a plane and I have pressure in my ears. It's been 2 days now, and it's very, very annoying. And I didn't know what else to do. I have put Vicks behind my ears. I took Gypsy Care cold remedy tea. I used my daughter's saline nebulizer, and I still have a problem.
Okay. Fastest, easiest fix?
Uh-huh.
Stop by the drugstore, pick up Afrin nasal spray, and just give a Afrin, A-F-R-I-N.
Yeah.
Get a little spritz up each nostril.
Yeah.
Sniff it way up in your head till you feel it run down the back of your throat, and it'll open up those ears in a matter of minutes.
Okay. Yeah, I try to stay away from that stuff, but
yep.
It works.
Yeah.
You're right, to stay away from
right.
it.
But if you've had pressure in your ears for 2 days, the problem is if that fluid stays there, then your risk of getting an infection goes up.
Well, not only that, if the pressure continues to build, you can rupture your tympanic membrane.
Yeah, so It's time to drain it. All right.
Okay, great. Do I have time for another question about my mom? She has tinnitus in her ears or what? Mm-hmm. And sure. She's been complaining about it, going to a doctor, and they basically say, well, that's life. Is there anything to do for tinnitus?
How long has she had it?
Well, she's only been complaining about it for about since January.
You know, when it's an acute onset like that, sometimes I wonder if it's a side effect of a medication. So if she's been started on any new drugs lately, you might want to check with the doctor about the side effects and change that drug out. But usually, if it's been present for a very, very long time, there isn't really much. I mean, you want the initial investigations. If it's new, you do want them to be seen by their ENT, make sure there's nothing sinister going on in the inner ear or in the brain. But if you've ruled that out already, then make sure it's not any new medication.
And the reason she's saying is that it is possible, rare, we don't see it often, but it's possible that there are tumors along the course of the nerve that can cause it.
So you want to rule out
the really bad things, even though they're very rare and don't happen often. You know, if it happens to you, it's 100% to you.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Well, she's going to be 90 here at the beginning of next year also. And so I'm thinking maybe the doctor doesn't think it's worth it.
Well, maybe so, but at 92, a new symptom means there's something causing
it. That's right. Something has changed.
Yeah.
And
So
as far as the doctor goes, if he won't look just because of her age, he's not a good doctor.
He should
look. All right.
Okay. We will do that.
All right.
I'll go with her to our next appointment. And thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And good luck to you and your mom.
All righty. Thank you, Pam. That opens up a line, so you can call us at 1-888-312-5757. Let's go to Kirkland right now and talk to Rick. Rick, welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
I'd like to know the pros and cons of different hormone replacement delivery systems like gel versus injection versus pellets.
Which hormone? More hormones. What are you talking about?
Specifically for my wife, for estrogen, progesterone.
Okay.
Great question, by the way.
Yes, it is. Estrogen is well absorbed through the skin. So, you know, you can use it on her inner arms or her axilla or behind her legs or on her face if she's not Asian. I never use it on the face and neck of Asians because high estradiol levels in the skin will often give them melasma, these dark, dark spots. But in Caucasians, they usually tolerate it very well on the face and neck, and it gives them very soft, dewy, feminine-looking skin. So, you know, that one varies on their skin tone and texture and racial background. But you can put it almost anywhere where the skin is thin and has a good blood supply. So estrogen's well absorbed through the skin.
That includes vaginal application as well.
Vaginal application, you don't need nearly as much
because
the vagina will absorb 6 to 12 times more estrogen than the skin will.
That's right.
Because that mucous membrane is very thin and very rich blood supply.
All right, so you get away with a little dose and it does the job very effectively.
Yes. So, you know, anything from vaginal to arms to legs to face all depends on what you're trying. The key is to measure the blood levels.
Exactly.
It's not what you're putting on the body. It's what's actually in the bloodstream that you're really after. I don't like the injections. The oil-based long-term, you only need a shot every few weeks, but you get levels that go too high, then they drop down through an optimal range, and then they get too low, and then you get another shot. So I don't like any of the sex hormones as injections. I almost never use sex hormones orally. We were never designed to eat sex hormones. And so we don't have the liver enzymes to process them properly when they come in from the gut through the portal circulation directly to the liver. So, yeah, I don't like oral estrogens at all. If you're taking estrogen as a pill, you dramatically increase your risk of blood clots. So you can develop thrombophlebitis, pulmonary embolism, heart attacks, strokes. Oral estrogens are a physiologic nightmare. So I prefer the transdermal.
But you can use progesterone orally.
Yes, progesterone is different. And the micronized progesterone,
that's right,
especially, that is absorbed efficiently from the gut.
And the emphasis is on the progesterone. There are others on the market that are not right. It's progesterone.
Never medroxyprogesterone acetate.
Right.
That one is an abomination. But real progesterone, the same hormone your own body made, can be used orally if you use the micronized form. And the progesterone is not absorbed as well through the skin. Although it gives very pretty skin. Men and women both, I use progesterone on the face and neck because it makes the skin thicker and more elastic, smooths out fine lines and wrinkles. And so it's a very good cosmetic drug for the face and neck, mm-hmm. but your blood levels will not be as high as if you take it orally. Mm-hmm. And of course, in women, vaginally is a very, very nice absorption method.
Pellets
are very effective. They'll mm-hmm. give you, you know, high and fairly consistent doses for months at a time.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that they do have to be replaced. You absorb them. You got to have new pellets put in under the skin.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, a lot of people get scarring.
Mm-hmm.
They get fibrin formation and scarring that makes it difficult to keep absorbing them, or you have to keep moving the site and you scar this and then you scar another spot. So I'm not real fond of pellets as a general rule. But there are some people in whom pellets are an interesting addition. For instance, testosterone pellets in women that have had a breast cancer have been shown to lower the risk of reoccurrence and actually help many of the tumors shrink. So, you know, pellets are an option, but they've got some downside. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, and actually my wife did say that she corrected me and said that it was a testosterone pellet that she was considering. And so that may be appropriate for her then?
I
didn't realize that. I misunderstood. I've listened to you a lot, and I've always thought that you would not be a fan of testosterone for pellets for men because it would supplant the natural production of testosterone if you're constantly getting it through the pellets, wouldn't it?
Well, and not only that, but you lose the rise and fall.
Male
libido is a function of the rise and the fall of testosterone through the day so that you fill and then empty those testosterone receptors in the brain. And so, you know, the pellets give you a constant high dose,
mm-hmm.
and you actually get what's called tachyphylaxis, in which it takes higher and higher doses, and so libido often fades away and men lose their sex drive.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not a real fan of pellets for men. For women, especially if I'm concerned about breast cancer, and what most people don't seem to realize, including most physicians, unfortunately, is that testosterone is the primary sex hormone for men and women. And young women, 18, 20-year-old girls, have 2.5 times as much testosterone as estrogen in their system. Okay, the estrogen is what gives them that soft curve, the little bit of subcutaneous fat, and the soft feminine skin. But the testosterone is what's there to give them strength and endurance and muscle and thick bones and drive and ambition and self-confidence and sexuality. Testosterone is important for women's sexual drive.
But it's easy to use it transdermally as a cream.
Yes.
For women.
Let's talk about that when we come back.
Okay.
You hang on because we're going to come back and talk about testosterone creams for women.
Don't go far, Rick. We're going to put you on hold and we'll pick this up when we come back.
My wife was the one who listened She goes, you got to listen to this guy. It makes a lot of sense. You know, he just made a lot of good common sense. You know, like you said, you don't measure, you don't know. I mean, physically, I'm stronger and faster than I was 10 years ago.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter.
Papaya, papaya.
And make believe it came from you.
Papaya, papaya.
I'm going to write words so, so smooth. They're going to knock me off of my feet. A lot of kisses on the bottom. I'll be glad I got them.
Hey, we've got about 5 or 6 minutes before the top of the hour, so let's get back to Rick.
Okay. Yeah, Rick.
Thank you.
If she is a breast cancer survivor, then then the pellets are a fine option. If she is not, if we're just trying to replace normal physiologic function, we often use transdermal testosterone in our women too, and putting it in areas that do not have hair follicles. You know, the downside of transdermal is that if you put it where there are hair follicles, mm-hmm. Those follicles will hypertrophy and give you darker, thicker, longer mm-hmm. hair. So you don't want to put it on your face and your neck or your chest. But behind the knees, in the little crook of the elbow and the arms, on the clitoris, on the wrists, areas where you don't have hair follicles, is well absorbed, and you can kick their levels up to anywhere you want them. And the nice thing about the transdermal is you can easily adjust the dose, raising and lowering the dose as that particular individual needs it.
And the pellets in women would have the same potential for the tachyphylaxis effect? As far as...
As far as libido goes, yeah.
Yep.
As far as libido goes, although most of the few studies we've got with women using long term, in this case being a year, more than half of them reported increased libido and sexual satisfaction. But once more, you can get the same blood levels without the pellets. You can get it with transdermal, and you get more opportunity to adjust the dose. You know, with a pellet, you're kind of stuck with that dose for at least 3 months.
That's right.
Until it's absorbed.
Yeah, I often find that with my women, we're adjusting the dose either going up or down, and it varies a lot depending upon what's going on in their life. Mm-hmm. Certain stressors can make it so that they need less. Sometimes they gain weight, so they need more. Sometimes they lose weight, so they need less. So I am adjusting the dose, and we measure frequently. With pellets, that becomes a lot harder. And so the side effects, oily skin, acne, hair loss, then they just kind of have to stick with that.
You're stuck with it once you put the pellet in.
Yeah.
How long has pellet therapy been widely used?
Oh, golly, I don't know. Probably
at least 10 years.
Yeah, I was seeing it 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's been around for a while.
You guys have not used it, though, is that correct?
We don't like it, no. I just don't see good reasons for it. Like I said, I can get any blood level I need in women, and I can change those levels rapidly and conveniently by just changing either the concentration of the testosterone in the cream or the amount of cream we apply or the surface area to which we apply it. We've got a lot of variables that we can alter to change doses and levels very quickly.
I mean, I can see it's convenience because you don't have to mess with the cream every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get the dose right, and then it's easy, then nothing to do.
Yep.
But it does carry a lot of downsides.
So,
how do the costs compare?
Well, the cream is very cheap. The pellets are more expensive, and you've got a surgical procedure to
put them in. Mm-hmm. So they charge for the procedure.
So there is a charge for the procedure. So you're looking at a few hundred bucks to put the cotton picking thing in every 3 months. Whereas the cream is, golly, I don't know, $15-$20 a month, something like that. I mean, it's not much. It's a low dose because, the men's cream is like $50 a month. So I'm not quite sure where the women's would run.
I'm sorry, I just don't know.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you. My apologies.
That's okay. You've been great. Really helped the helpful information. I appreciate it very much.
You get it. Thank you, Rick.
Take care, sir.
Appreciate it. This is just one more reason to consider being a patient at Longevity. So many doctors that start fiddling around with testosterone and estrogens don't know the importance of the overall group of hormones, and that's what we do so well.
Yeah, and not just the hormones. Like in this question, it was delivery of the same hormones. Yeah. And, you know, Jerry,
and adjusting over the doses.
Yeah, I mean, you and I have talked about this for so many years. I was mesmerized by pellets, but it's impractical for most people just because the daily vary. I mean, think about it. Hormones vary in normal people at normal time who are not on replacement.
Yes.
And with the pellets, you just can't mimic that.
Yeah. And if you're under physiologic stress, raising your testosterone dose a little bit helps.
Yeah.
You tolerate stress so much better with a higher brain level.
Sure.
So with that in mind, we have another hour to go here on 570 KVI. Hour number two is coming up after the top of the hour break and a little bit of news, I think. And then we'll be back. So if you've got a question, call us at 1-888-312-5757. We've got Betty and Judy coming up next. And then your call at 888-312-5757. And go ahead and make your free health analysis appointment as well at lmclinic.com. We've got some available through the first full week of October. So grab one. First come, first serve at lmclinic.com. We'll be right back.